Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, a lot's been happening since we last spoke in early December. The Federal Reserve's lowered interest rates. Gold went to a new high. The stock market is kind of, you know, trading in a slow way for people as we go into the election. And now oil spiking on all the stuff going on in the Middle East. Israel invaded Lebanon. Iran shot missiles at Israel. And as we're speaking, nothing has happened yet, but Israel has said that they are getting ready to retaliate one way or the other.
Right. And, of course, one of the targets could be all the Iranian oil fields or port facilities, so they can't export any more oil.
That's right. And I think that's why we're seeing oil finally trade up. Oil really has been trending down since April. The price got up to $87 a barrel for crude oil and fell all the way down to $66. And now we're going back up, and the energy stocks, likewise, have made a similar move. Just a month ago, Exxon was at 110, and now it's at 122, for example. And even if, well, I'm not trying to, this is, to me, you know, the wars are really unpredictable. They don't really play out as people predict. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we saw when this all started a year ago, it ended up being that Yemen people were shooting rockets at boats in the Horn of Africa. And in the 80s, I remember Iran was disrupting the boat traffic near Saudi Arabia. That could happen again. The Iranians could do that, you know, next year, even if Israel doesn't hit their energy supplies. But regardless, it's causing disruptions in the global energy markets. And but when it comes to the stock market, it hasn't done that much. You know, the market fell on Tuesday after Iran shot its missiles, but then it went up the next day, and it's down today. And as this war began a year ago, it hasn't disrupted the stock market in any meaningful way. And gold has been on a tremendous run since March, when gold cleared $2,100 an ounce, a level that's held it down, or was holding it down, for 2 years. And now gold's trading below $2,700, basically. And I think it's the Federal Reserve policies, the macro economy, that has a much bigger impact on gold and the stock market than the events in the Middle East, unless energy really does spike. That would make the inflation come back a little bit, which wouldn't be good for the economy.
Now, on interest rates, do you think the Fed is going to cut again?
Oh, I don't doubt it. At the meeting, they cut 50 points, and the Federal Reserve issued a policy statement which suggested that they would be lowering interest rates two times this year, November, December. And then they predicted additional cuts next year. Now, I think it's really difficult to figure out or look, you know, guess what they're going to do next year. But the next meeting is right around election time. I think it's the day after the U.S. presidential election. And Jerome Powell, the chairman, already came out and talked about wanting to lower rates. But I think the big question is, what will happen next year? And I think that's, let me put it this way, like, they basically have set the stage to lower rates by a full percentage from where they were by the end of the year. Okay, let's say they do that. Well, if they were to lower another percentage, which is what some people are expecting next year, I think it would take a recession for that to happen. And if a recession doesn't happen, I don't really think they should be doing that until, you know, there's a real need to. So all these people wanting these lower rate cuts, I would suggest they be careful what they wish for, because if it really happens next year, I think it would also mean there's a recession, higher unemployment, and the stock market would also be taking a hit. But between now and the election or New Year's, I don't really think anything too negative is going to happen with the economic news. My worry is about next year, because typically employers will hire additional people for the Christmas holidays and then lay some of them off in January. And if there's underlying economic weakness and that's going on, that's what could, you know, make the unemployment grow in the first quarter next year. So I'm personally kind of not looking to do much. I already got my positions and looking forward to how things stand next year. I'm not day trading these markets. I'm frankly, I got a big gold position because gold, I believe, launched a new bull market in March. I think that's a long-term trend, and it's going to benefit from these lower interest rates. And if there is a recession, rates will just go down even more, and gold will go even up higher. So that's how I'm positioned. And I got money on the sidelines, as they like to say, where I can decide to do something when I see a fat pitch line up.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's happening with uranium?
Uranium's, you know, had an interesting run this year. I'm not really invested in it. I just kind of watch it see it as part of the energy complex. And historically, it trades with oil, but lagging oil. So when we look at that, you know, it went up a year ago from $57 spot price, peaking out at 81 in February, and then it's fallen down to 65. So my expectation is it'll probably bounce back up a little bit as we're seeing the price of oil do that. But there aren't a whole lot of investment vehicles for it. You know, there's a Sprott ETF you can use, and there's some individual uranium mining stocks. And if you look at Cameco, the biggest uranium producer that's publicly traded, you can see it's kind of trading with energy stocks. You know, it took a dip from $56 all the way down to $37 around Labor Day, and now it's swung back up to 50. So it's a stock that has its big swings up and down when it does move. But I'm personally more focused and invested in gold, silver, in companies that mine those two metals instead of all the secondary minerals. That said, if I was going to pick one metal, and I think of uranium as being a metal, that I would, you know, say has the most upside from here, I would pick palladium. Palladium has a giant short position in the futures market. It's been lagging the action of the other precious metals, and it hasn't really broken out as much as the others have. So I think from here it has more upside. Now, I don't own there's a palladium ETF people can buy. I don't own that. It's also, but I do own Sibian Stillwater, which is a large company that mines palladium and some other precious metals. And copper, too, is a metal that has had some recent big swings. Copper was under $4 back in March, rallied all the way up above $5, then fell back down to where it started the rally in August, and now it's back to $4.60. And copper mining stocks have also made big swings. So there's action in these markets. There's no doubt about that. But I'm bullish on commodities and really energy too, because another factor that suddenly happened is that the Chinese stock market has exploded and come to life. As the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates within a week, the Chinese central bank took equivalent actions, and the government there really took strenuous efforts to pump liquidity into its system. And it's been mired in recession for the past couple years, and so is its stock market. It had a vicious bear market that ended last year. Then the market did a double bottom and has gone sideways for a year and a half, and now has broken out to the upside. The Shanghai Stock Exchange Composite was trading at 2,700 about 3 weeks ago, and now it's at 3,300. That's a huge swing, 30-some percent for a global stock market. And that's the start of a bull market. And when the Chinese stock market has a bull market, typically that has been bullish for commodities. And that's what I'm seeing. Also, another commodity, I don't own it now, or ETF, but I have in the past, is DBA. That's an agriculture ETF fund. Just invest in a basket of, you know, soft commodity futures. And it also is going sideways and could go up. You can look at various fertilizer stocks with similar chart patterns. So there are, I still see lots of opportunities in, you know, the commodity complex, which took a breather this summer. The U.S. stock market, the way it looks to me like it's in the ninth inning of its bull market. I'm not sure if that's going to end this year, though, or, you know, the first half of next year. But what we're seeing there is a rotation out of big cap tech stocks, out of things such as crypto coins and speculative ventures, and into interest rate sensitive stuff, sectors that benefit when interest rates go down. That's one reason gold's gone up. But REITs have been among the top performing sectors of the past couple months, and so have utility stocks. And that's likely to remain that way for the rest of this year.
Utility stocks and REITs, are they kind of safe refuges if there is a recession?
Yeah, you can think of like utility stocks as a simple reason why. These both sectors, the companies pay dividends and larger dividends than other sectors do. They really look to return revenue back to shareholders. And that's why long-term people invest in them. The dividends are stable. And then when the Fed lowers interest rates, here, I can get this stable dividend. But the earnings are stable too, because, you know, in recessions, people still got to pay rent and people still have to use the electricity. You know, another sector like that is tobacco, because people addicted to tobacco aren't going to stop smoking, and stocks such as Altria, which used to be Philip Morris, are performing very well also.
Did they change their name to Altria because it's not associated with cigarettes?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, I mean, it did it years ago. It probably had something to do with the lawsuits of the 2000s, 20 years ago.
What's going on with marijuana? If the Democrats win, are they going to legalize it federally?
Well, I don't know if they'll take federal action. The Congress is likely to be split. The Senate's likely to remain Republican. But, you know, it's been legalized in so many states by now in the United States that I don't really think it's going to make much difference if they did to the marijuana industry. I think it's like a story, you know, that's already been happening.
How are marijuana stocks doing?
I haven't looked at the sector for quite some time. It kind of went through a giant boom and bust over the past couple of years, and a lot of those stocks just don't make a profit. So if you look at something like Canopy Growth, it's way off, you know, the highs it made in 2019, 2020. I think it's a sector that really was big 2017, 2016, and the stocks peaked out a long time ago. It's like become, back then it was extremely speculative, but now the industry's mature and, you know, it's not a new thing anymore. And the stocks that, you know, everyone got hyped up about, they've all crashed since then. So I'm not, you know, really investing in the sector. It's just something that's, I guess some people still do.
Now, in light of what Yogi Berra said once, that place is so popular, nobody goes there anymore. NVIDIA, are they still the hottest kid on the block?
Well, not really. I mean, it's still the most widely traded stock every single day among American traders and investors. You can go on various brokerage accounts that show you where the most trades are going to, and it's still that stock. It's still also Tesla, too. But since June, NVIDIA has been lagging the S&P 500, and that's part of this leadership shift where, you know, those big cap tech stocks, the money a couple months ago started to shift out of them into more defensive sectors. I think the real problem with the NVIDIA that it has is just as simply everyone already owns it, and it's extremely highly valued, you know, so it's just kind of lagging the market. I mean, it'll keep going up as long as the stock market keeps going up, but I think its best days of outperformance have come and gone. And I would avoid it. And that goes along with, you know, so-called AI stocks, which is supposed to be the most important AI stock, but there's all these secondary AI stocks that have been going down for the past couple months. And the semiconductor sector also has a similar chart pattern as NVIDIA did. Stocks like Micron, Intel is actually performing very poorly. So, you know, it's like when I was trading in the 90s, the year 2000 came and a thing happened where money started to come out of what they were calling new technology stacks back then into old technology. And you saw the NASDAQ after March 2000 lag the Dow for years. And that could be what's starting to actually happen here.
Yeah, the old dot-com bust. Everybody thought high technology. What could go wrong? Go wrong. Go wrong.
Yeah, in most of those stocks, those internet stocks, you know, they vanished. They went to zero and then got delisted, and the companies went bankrupt. But stocks like eBay and Amazon, they, you know, crashed too. But they came back, and they were where the money was really being made. But all these little companies, you know, vanished and are gone forever. And that's what's going to happen to most of these so-called AI companies. They're going to go away. Yeah, but money's still pouring into, so what I read, into venture capital funds and companies set up, probably just to milk investors' money and funnel it somewhere else, because that's what you see when a sector gets that faddish. There are ugly players that take advantage of situations and fool people into giving them their money.
Mike, anything else you want to bring to our attention?
Well, you know, outside of what could be gyrations associated with what happens in the Middle East, and it definitely looks like things are going to heat up there. I don't, you know, as we're doing this, Israel has vowed to launch some sort of attack against Iran. That hasn't happened yet, but I suspect after Friday it could happen at any moment, and that could cause a gyration in the markets. But if it does, with the stock market, it's likely just to be a temporary dip, kind of like what we saw in August, but probably to a lesser extent. And I don't think we're going to have a real bear market till after the election, or more likely next year, and it'll be associated with rising unemployment numbers when it does happen. So I think we're kind of in a situation between now and when we speak next where you're probably not a whole lot of meaningful action when it comes to stock market is going to take place.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Great to talk with you. Thank you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.